At this time, friends, we'd like to thank the many thousands of you who've been kind enough to write in telling us how much you enjoy these regular visits with Lum and Abner. The makers of Alka-Seltzer are mighty glad to learn that you get so much pleasure out of the doings down in Pine Ridge, and they hope that you'll continue to listen and to enjoy, and that you'll get acquainted with Alka-Seltzer. And say, right now would be a mighty good time to try Alka-Seltzer if a busy day has left you feeling headachy and upset. We believe that once you've experienced the remarkably fast relief Alka-Seltzer offers for the pain of a dull, aching head or an upset, jittery stomach, you'll become an Alka-Seltzer booster from that time on. Be sure to try it, won't you? And you can get Alka-Seltzer at any drugstore in 30 and 60 cent size packages, or by the glass at the soda fountain. And now, let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, most of the materials for the Mars rocket ship have been assembled, and the actual construction is due to begin. Lum and Abner and Professor Sloan have all agreed to furnish the labor themselves so as to keep the ship and its plan a secret if possible. As we look in on the little community today, it is evening and the old fellows have arrived at the observatory equipped with saws and hammers. They are waiting now for the professor. Listen.
Well, come on, Lum. Let's get started building this rocket ship we're going to. Let's get doing it.
Well, I told you we got to wait for Professor Sloan. He knows the scientific way of building these things.
We waited 15 minutes for him already. I'm getting tired of just sitting here in this observatory doing nothing.
Just hold your horses, Abner. The professor will be here any second now. I know he will.
Doggett, I believe I'll just start out building it. I don't want to spend the whole night over here. Reckon what we ought to do first... put these wheels here on the axle?
I don't know. The professor will tell us.
Yeah, I believe that'd be the first thing. Get the wheels on. Here, yeah, let's see now. Where's that hammer I brought over here?
Now, wait a minute, Abner. You'll do it wrong or
something. No, I won't. All you got to do is just pound the wheel onto the axle here. There ain't nothing to that.
Abner, I told you not to do that. You don't know enough about astronomers to be doing this.
Maybe not, but I know enough about wheels. Oh, they cut down the old pine
tree. Abner, do you want to ruin this whole rocket ship?
I ain't ruining it.
You air done it. Now stop that. You're liable to get them wheels on some way that'll make the rocket ship go to Jupiter instead of Mars or something.
Oh, prattle.
Wait a minute. I believe I hear the professor coming up the steps now. Hurry up and get that wheel off.
Get it off? I just got it on.
I said take it off. We're going to build this rocket ship just the way Professor Sloan tells us. He knows exactly how to do it.
All right. We won't never get it done at this rate, though.
Yes,
I'll tell you that.
And we'll get it done a heap sight quicker if we know what we're doing instead of the way you're trying to do it. Oh, howdy, Professor. Come on in.
Howdy, Professor.
Well. Hard at work already, I see.
Well, not exactly. We're just getting things lined up, so. We didn't want to do nothing till you got here.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I guess we're ready to begin then, gentlemen.
Good.
I wonder if any of us realizes what a momentous occasion this is. The pounding of the first nail, the welding of the first rivet. Ah, yes, momentous is the only word for it.
Yeah, it is momentous, all right, I think.
The beginning of an activity that will open up a new world to the Earth folk, bringing us into contact with hitherto unknown peoples, reveal new vegetable life, new minerals. Gentlemen, we are making history.
Do you want to put the wheels on the axle, Professor?
Hey, Chef Abner.
I beg your pardon. What did you say, Mr. Peabody?
I said, do you want to put the wheels on first?
Wheels?
Yeah.
Well, let's see now. Wheels. We must be fundamentally sound in all of our construction. We must approach this from the scientific point of view.
That's exactly what I've been telling Abner, Professor. You're taking the words right out of my mouth.
For such a rigorous and completely unprecedented journey as we're contemplating... we must take the greatest of precaution, even in the most minute details. We must build with a scientific precision never before employed in the construction of any type of air vehicle. Do you agree?
Why, sure. 1,100% at least.
And how about you, Mr. Peabody?
Uh-huh.
Now then, what was your question?
Do you want to put the wheels on?
Oh, yes, the wheels. Put them on, did you say?
Yeah, put them on the axles here.
The axles. And, let me see now. What are the axles?
What? This thing here, that's what the wheels go on to.
Oh, yes, to be sure. Well, I believe that I can best answer that question by citing the results of an experiment performed in a laboratory class during my undergraduate days.
Your under what days?
Graduate. College, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure. What's the matter with me?
What college did you go to, Professor?
Oh, I went to dear old... dear me, that name has escaped me again.
Well?
Now, let me see. Well, I do remember that you get off the streetcar and you go three blocks to your left, then two blocks to your right.
Right, huh?
Yes. The buildings have vines on them. Very interesting place.
Yeah.
Yes. At any rate, this experiment took place in Professor Pellin's class, Advanced Astrophysics 71.
Well, what about the wheels, Professor?
Abner, be quiet. He's answering that question now. Go on, Professor. This is interesting.
Oh, yes. Yes, well, Professor Pelham was indeed a brilliant man. Wrote several books.
Pelham?
Pelham, yes. P-E-L-H-A-M.
Oh.
Yes. One of them was called Chromatic Aberration of the Asteroids. Perhaps you've read it, Mr. Edwards?
No, I ain't, but it sounds awful interesting. Abner, remind me to get that for our library.
Uh-huh.
Well, later on, Professor Pelham, that's the H-A-M Pelhams, branched out into the other fields and collaborated with Dr. Zenia in his excellent volume, Nocturnal Mammals Every Child Should Know. You've read that, I presume?
Well, no, I was sort of waiting for it to come out in the Reader's Digest. I'd love to read it, though, wouldn't you, Abner?
Uh-huh.
Well, what about these experiments, Professor?
Experiments? Oh, yes. It took place in Dr. Zenia's summer class in comparative animal physiology and psychology. Oh, highly interesting course.
I thought you said this experiment happened in Professor Pelham's class.
Oh, no. That must have been some other experiment. At any rate, we were studying the effect of disturbed sleep upon various animals. So, Dr. Zenia placed a frog, a gopher, and a guinea pig all in one cage.
I bet the gopher whipped. Is that all them college professors have to do?
Abner, this is scientific stuff. Now, listen. What happened then, Professor?
Then, Dr. Zenia disturbed their sleep by firing a gun near their cage at intervals of 20 minutes all during the night.
Hmm.
And five of us students were allowed to be present and make notes.
Make notes? Whistle and sing, you mean?
Oh, no. Make notes on paper. We observed the effect of the noise upon the comparative behavior of the animals in the cage. Oh, it was a highly interesting experiment.
Yeah, well, what did you find out? What effects was there?
Well, to tell you the truth, we never actually found out what the effect was.
Uh-oh.
Never found out?
Well, no. You see, Dr. Zenia had a rather poor aim, and by morning, he'd shot all three of the animals. Rather amusing, but highly interesting, though.
Professor, maybe I'm sort of mixed up here, but just what does all that have to do with putting these wheels on?
The wheels? Oh, why, the wheels are for the rocket ship.
I know what they're for, but I just wanted to find out.
Oh, remember, we must exercise great forethought and extreme care with everything that deals with our rocket ship.
Oh, yeah.
How do you gentlemen feel about it?
Well, we feel the same way, Professor. Natural.
But, Professor, I ask about these wheels here.
Oh, yes, we'll need the wheels. Yes, we'll need them, I'm sure.
Oh, my.
And we'll also need plenty of warm clothing. You see, it's considerably colder on Mars than it is on our planet.
Cold up there, huh?
Oh, very cold. The reason, as you undoubtedly know, is that Mars is farther from the sun than the Earth is. Oh, I should say some 30 to 60 million miles further.
Leave him.
Maybe we ought to put skis or sleigh runners on this thing instead of wheels, then.
Oh, no, no, that won't be necessary. They have summer seasons on Mars, too. There are indications of vegetable life on the planet, and they prove that. However, we must remember to take huge oxygen tanks along, inasmuch as there is little, if any, oxygen there.
Well, are they racing in that stuff now, too?
Oh, no, no, no. The probable solution is that the oxygen on Mars has gone into combination with the iron in the rocks, causing them to rust. Thus, we may have a reason for the red color of Mars, because it is red. But we'll be able to find all that out for ourselves. Oh, what a trip this is going to be. I'm looking forward to it. What a momentous journey for us.
Yeah, well, Professor, it's getting late, and I would love for you to tell me about these wheels.
Did you say getting late?
Yeah, it's getting late.
Oh, dear. Let me see. What time is it? I've misplaced my watch somewhere.
See. It's, 10:30.
10:30? Oh, dear me, it is late.
That's what I've been saying.
Oh, yes, I almost forgot that I still have to correct some school papers and prepare a test for tomorrow morning. So I think I'd better be running along, gentlemen.
You mean you're going to leave now?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, we all need sleep, you know. We all want to keep ourselves absolutely fit for our forthcoming journey to Mars. Oh, it'll be a strenuous trip, I'm sure. Well, good night, gentlemen.
But wait a minute, Professor. We're going to build this rocket ship tonight.
Oh, yes, and believe me, we've made splendid progress so far. We know what we're doing now.
We do, huh?
Oh, feet firmly on the ground, chin up, everything fundamentally sound. Ah, yes, indeed, a good evening's work we've done. Well, good night.
Well, Professor, what about these wheels?
Just remember what I said, Mr. Peabody, and you can't go wrong. Well, gentlemen, good night.
Yeah, good night, Professor.
Good night. Lom.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm crazy or something, but I don't believe I followed him much of the time there. Can you tell me how I'm supposed to put these wheels on there now?
Well, Abner, I listened pretty careful there. As near as I can figure out, taking everything into consideration, the rusty oxygen in the rocks and the new vegetable life, the chromatic aberration of the adenoids and Dr. Xenia and his gophers. Do you understand it so far?
Huh.
Then you put your fundamental feet on the ground and take the wheel in one hand.
The wheel, huh? Yeah.
Then take the hammer in your other hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Then shut your eyes and pound.
Huh.
Come on, Abner, let's go home.
Say, folks, have you ever taken Alka-Seltzer to ease the dull, achy feeling of a cold? If you have, you know what we mean when we say that Alka-Seltzer can make such a difference in the way you feel when you catch cold. So next time you catch cold, start at once to take care of yourself. Get lots of rest. Eat sensibly. Dress wisely. Get ample vitamins. And start taking Alka-Seltzer. Use Alka-Seltzer as a gargle, too, if a sore, raspy throat's a part of your cold discomfort. Now, if you haven't any Alka-Seltzer in your home the next time you catch cold, get a package quickly from your nearest druggist and just see for yourself how much better it can help you feel.